The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Zayin records a very popular statement which Abaye used to tell his Talmidim. Margala bepume de Abaye. It was a pearl in the mouth of Abaye. It's like a phrase that he would constantly encourage his Talmidim. Margala bepume de Abaye. Liolam yeh adam arum biyira. You have to be sneaky. Arum means sneaky, tricky. When it comes to Yiras Hashem. I mean to be sneaky when it comes to Yiras Hashem. Too often, people feel that they can just confront the Yetzer Hara head-to-head, straight up. Yetzer Hara provides a certain desire, a temptation, a need, a feeling, an insecurity, whatever the Yetzer Hara taunts us with. We know what's wrong, we know what's right, we know what's wrong, and we can trust ourselves to overcome a Yetzer Hara and to act in accordance with our values. What Abaye was trying to teach his Talmidim is that couldn't be farther from the truth. In the tranquility of the moment, in the peace and stillness of our own inner thoughts, we all know what's right and wrong. But somehow, in the heat of the moment, when our passions flare, when we feel pressure and tension, when we're forced to make quick decisions, our values are oftentimes not expressed, and we end up looking back at our decisions and our behavior in shock. How did I do that? Why did I do it? Unable to come up with easy solutions. So Abaye's basic point was, you have to be a Talmud Chacham when it comes to the Yetzer Hara. You have to know how he operates, and don't underestimate the influence. And when you're faced with a challenge, know to respond not just with brute force and conviction and commitment, but also with wisdom and tactics. There are tactics that you can use to respond to the Yetzer Hara. Of course, this was the whole premise of the Bali Musar. The Bali Musar felt that in previous generations, these tactics weren't necessary. People would study Torah, and by engaging in that encounter with the Dvar Hashem, every single possible Musar trait should develop. Humility, and vigilance, and purity, all the midos should ideally be brokered by that encounter with Kodesh Baruch Hu through his Torah. But unfortunately, as generations passed, that encounter became less capable of providing the moral and religious instruction. And therefore, people should spend active time, and even reroute Torah time, towards active thinking about the values of Avodas Hashem and personal improvement. The Bali Musar cited a Gemara in Brachos Dafei, Amar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, Amar Shimon Ben Lakish, Liolam Yargiz Adam Yetzer Tov Al Yetzer Hara. You should rally the Yetzer Tov against your Yetzer Hara. Yargiz comes from the word Rogez, anger. You should be furious, suggesting some sort of active, initiating, proactive attempt to fend off the effects and the efforts of the Yetzer Hara. Shenema Rigzu V'Al Techeto. Rally and become angry at your Yetzer Hara, and you won't sin. Im Nitzchav, if you're successful, Mutav, great. Im Lav, and if you're not, Yasach Batar, you should study Torah, Shenamar, Im Uvel Vavchem. Im Nitzchav, if that's successful, Mutav, Im Lav, Yikra Kriyashma, Sekriyashma. Im Nitzchav, if that's successful, Mutav, Im Lav, Yiskalo Yom HaMisa, you should think about human mortality and dying. This whole Gemara suggests that you need many different tactics, it's not so simple. Torah is not necessarily going to do it for everyone. The Gemara actually allows and acknowledges that for some people, learning Torah will not give them the strength that it should to fend off the Yetzer Hara. This is a very famous Gemara cited by the original founders of the Musar movement to justify the study of Musar. Originally, Musar was a very controversial topic. Many yeshivos rejected the Musarniks, excommunicated them. How dare you suggest Bittul Torah? The Musarniks believed correctly the real battlefield is not the intellectual battlefield to know what's right and what's wrong, but the psychological, subconscious battlefield to actually implement those values during the heat of the moment. So many of the original Musarniks wouldn't just read a pasuk or a medrash, or they would chant it thousands of times, repeatedly. Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. Other pasukim, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, would be recited 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 times a day. because the goal was not to understand what the pasuk meant. That was easy. But to almost inject the pasuk's meaning into your subconscious, into your psyche. For that, you have to just scream it again and again and again. In Parshas Vayeshev, we have the classic face-off between Yosef HaTzadik and his Yetzirah, a classic Yetzirah, sexual desire. It's very easy to imagine Yosef HaTzadik falling victim. He's been stripped, any hope. He's been led astray, sent into Egypt. As far as he's concerned, he'll never, ever be restored to his prominence, to his family prestige, to his position. Basically lost in some dead-end position in his master's house. Here comes his master's wife. Finally. Someone sees him for who he really is. Detects and appreciates his charisma. Instead of being angry and jealous at him, she falls in love with that part of him, his dreams and his talent. He's a lonely boy taken away from his family, rotting in Egypt. Finally, someone acknowledges the potential. One agreement, one decision stands in the way between Yosef and the fulfillment of his dreams. If he accedes to his master's wife's solicitation, ultimately, it's in the cards. Torah doesn't write it, but it's in the cards. They will off Potiphar. They'll get rid of him, they'll kill him, they'll find some other way to cast him aside, and Yosef will now take over Potiphar's noble estate and be well on the way towards the fruition of those great dreams. This is the moment. This is Yosef HaTzadik's moment. This is when he becomes Yosef HaTzadik. And Chazal give us insight to some of the tactics which Yosef HaTzadik employed. Some of those wise, sneaky almost tactics that Chazal and Brachos Daf Yud Zayin encourage us to learn. For example, very famous Medrash. Medrash says, Hayam ra'a vayanos, hayardein yisov li'achor. Pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Yudalit, we recite in Hallel, the waters of the Yamsuf fled, ran away from the Jewish people as they marched through. So the Medrash writes, "Bischus atzmosav shel Yosef nikra hayam li Yisrael." The reason that the water split because they saw the bones of Yosef approaching. Hayam ra vayanos bischus vayazov bigdo biyada vayanas vayetzia chutzah. The waters of the Yamsuf ran from the Jews the same way that Yosef HaTzadik ran from his master's wife. The first tactic of confronting the Yetzirah is to know when to run away, when to look the other way, when to draw lines. It takes Chazal to remind us that sometimes caution, fear, fleeing is not cowardly, but it's courageous. It's visionary. It's bold. Yosef HaTzadik has to run away from this woman? He should stand tall, look her in the eye, and say, "Feh! Never in a million years can anything you offer me be worth what I'm going to lose by this encounter." That's exactly the point. Even Yosef HaTzadik, and certainly everyone who's not at that level, even Yosef HaTzadik is a normal human being. Same pressures, same hormones. The only difference is Yosef HaTzadik is smart enough to know that he can't trust himself. So instead of standing there and trying to argue his way out or defying, realizing that his willpower may be compromised, he runs. He turns away. Chazal in Medrash, this week's Parsha, in Avos Givnasa and Perek Tazayin, quote the similar story of Rabbi Tzadok, an interesting name, Rabbi Tzadok, almost the successor to Yosef HaTzadik, was captured. And they sent him a prostitute. He spent the whole night looking at the wall. Nasan Einav Bekosel, Shelo Yirena. Vayoshe Vishono Kalalai, he was just repeating some Torah the whole night. And that was his way of avoiding contact. sometimes in the modern world, we're not good at drawing lines. Sometimes in our community, we don't draw lines properly. The whole world is good. Why should we exclude? Why should we buffer ourselves? Why should we insulate ourselves? We'll know how to filter the good from the bad. We'll know how to moderate and modulate our own encounter. Sometimes you have to be smart enough not to trust ourselves. Sometimes you can trust yourself. Sometimes you can't trust yourself. Sometimes we have to know when to run away. What type of exposure we allow. There's so many different access points to material and images that are inappropriate for an Oved Hashem. By not drawing lines and engaging in those access points, not drawing any lines whatsoever, we may find ourselves living vulnerabilities that we knew existed, but we were afraid to regulate against. There's great power in self-regulation. Just simply knowing when to draw a line. What is a place that Ben Torah shouldn't be in? What is an environment that will lead to the next thing? What is an internet site that will lead to the next site? What is a television program that will lead to the next level? Sometimes in our community, we have to learn the art of drawing lines. Yosef HaTzadik teaches us that art. Vayanas Ve'etzei Achutza. You think, oh, big coward, Yosef HaTzadik. He's got to run away. Why doesn't he stand up to her? No, it's not cowardice. It's courage. Chazal continue and describe a different tactic which Yosef HaTzadik employed. Huna b'shem Rabbi Masna Amar. Ikunin shel aviv, Rashi actually quotes this. Ikunin shel aviv rav et sanan damo. He saw his father's image peering at him from the window. And he said, how could I commit this chait if my father is watching me? Again, you could ask the question, Yosef HaTzadik needs some sort of last minute, end of the game, relief from his father. Like if his father's image had not appeared in the window, then he would have gone ahead with it. He would have committed this grave sin. It's inconceivable. I mean, this is a reductive, diminishing image of Yosef. Yosef should again stand tall and resolute and just rebuff any interest that this filthy Egyptian woman has with him. Same story, same lesson, different tactic. Yosef is smart enough not to trust himself. Smart enough to know is not a filthy Egyptian woman, but a woman that he will feel sexual desire for. And sometimes when you are in a morally challenging situation, whether it's Yosef's type of nisayon or any nisayon, give me a personal nisayon, you feel anger, you feel jealousy, you feel pettiness, you feel selfishness, whatever. Sometimes it's helpful not just to ask yourself what's right and what's wrong. Because that's very abstract, it's very theoretical. And knowing that, you know what's right and what's wrong. But it's less compelling, because you'll find some reason that you're not going to act upon what you feel is right or wrong. You'll find some excuse or justification. Everyone's a genius at the art of self-justification. Sometimes it's more important not to ask yourself what's right and what's wrong, but ask yourself, what would so-and-so do under those situations? How would he act? Rav Lichtenstein always told us to choose a person whose morality, whose integrity, whose Yirat Shamayim you respect and admire. And take that person as your role model, as your example. People move people. Ideas don't always move people as powerfully as people move people. And ask yourself, well, how would that person behave? Rav Lichtenstein told us that for him, his moral example, the person he always thought of, was Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Interestingly enough, Rav Aaron is a Talmud Mufak of the Rav, Rav Yosef Dova Levi Soloveitchik, but he's also a Talmud of the Rav's younger brother, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. And Rav Aaron Lichtenstein told us that he always thought of how Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would behave under those conditions. How would you behave? Sometimes that's a lot more helpful. And that is precisely what Yosef employs. He doesn't ask himself, you're right, in theory, theoretically, he knows this is wrong, but in the heat of the moment, he feels his hormones firing, he's lonely, he has no other hope, this is his chance, this is his moment of redemption, of vindication, show everyone that he really is this great leader, sweep into Potiphar's position with his wife and his estate, looks at the window, thinks about his father, says, you know what, this is just not me, this is not the person I aspire to be. The heroes that I have in my life, the people that I've met, even at a young age. I've been only 17 years old, Yosef, and he's been taken from his father's womb, from the father's family embrace, and thrown into Egypt. This is not their style. This is not what they do. Somehow Yosef finds the resolve to rebuff his master's wife. So these are just two tactics. Chazal talk about many tactics. These are just two. One is to know when to run away. Important art. It's not cowardly. Two is try to think about people. How would they respond to situations and challenges? Not just to think about ideas and theory. Shabbat Shalom.